Iran marks its National Army Day by parading their latest military equipment, including domestically manufactured missile systems. China dismisses a joint statement by the U.S. president and Japan's prime minister as a gross interference in its internal issues. And Canadians rally to protest coronavirus-related restrictions against the backdrop of a steep rise in COVID cases in the country. Good day, everyone. Welcome to World News here in the Iranian capital. I'm your host, Badr Zajafeh. Good to have you with us. Now, top story, Iran marking its Army Day by staging limited parades involving only military hardware due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The event this year mainly focused on parading military vehicles and showcasing domestically built weapons inside select army bases across the nation. Because of COVID-19, the authorities decided to cancel march pasts and Tehran types of drones, tanks, anti-aircraft batteries, advanced missile systems. Different kinds of electronic warfare systems were also put on display. Iran has always maintained that its military might is for defense purposes only. From Beirut, I'm now joined by Karim Sharara, who's an Iranian affairs expert. Good to have you with us, Karim. So as you just noticed, that even during COVID times, Iran has held its, has marked the Army Day and also parading its military hardware to show combat readiness, and of course it's stressing that this is only for the sake of defense. So what's the significance of holding such events even in this juncture of time in a limited way?
Well, it goes to show that Iran has never stopped improving on its military capabilities and showcasing its military capabilities. Now, be it COVID or any other times, I mean, Iran has been through even more trying times than this and has still managed to advance its military capabilities, as you said, its defensive capabilities, so that we are where we are today. I mean, just last year, Iran unveiled its underground ballistic missile sites. I mean, Iran has always improved on this, even though it's been under sanctions for most of its life. I mean, from going from where Iran was to now producing ballistic missiles, precision missiles that have worried the Israelis. Iran's naval capabilities have gotten to. Are of such a strength now that the Israelis are now talking of being very sorry for entering into a naval battle with Iran, because there's just no they can't hold their own against Iran in a naval battle. So I think if we link this with the recent Israeli attacks on Iran, and they're saying that they want more peace, not more peace, but they wanted to de-escalate the situation in the region, it goes to show that they cannot enter into a naval battle with Iran. Mm-hmm. Now, the ballistic missiles we're talking on a whole other level here because
right.
They're not only worried that Iran is going to use these ballistic missiles defensively, but they're also worried that Iran might this technology might get into the hands of freedom fighters in the region, and this worries the Israelis and the Americans, because their presence in the region is now threatened thanks to Tehran's military advancement.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments and insight. From Beirut, Karim Sharara, Iranian affairs expert, joined me with his comments. Now, the International Atomic Energy Agency has confirmed that Iran has started enriching uranium to 60% purity. It said in a statement that two cascades of centrifuges at the Natanz nuclear facility have begun the 60% enrichment process. Iran kicked off the process on Wednesday, saying that enrichment at 20% purity is also underway at the site. Now, that in response to last week's sabotage attack on the Natanz facility. Iran's lead negotiator in the Vienna talks, Abbas Araghchi, says so the measure is in line with the country's commitments under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Regarding talks in Vienna, Rapshi said that while still some serious differences remain, work could begin on a common draft amid efforts to revive the nuclear deal.
Iran's lead nuclear negotiator in Vienna, Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, says a new understanding is being reached amid attempts to revive the Iran nuclear deal, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA. Following a joint commission session with JCPOA signatories, Russia, China, Britain, France and Germany, Araghchi said negotiators can now start working on a common draft.
Drafting can begin at least in the areas where the sides share the same views. For that purpose, the Iranian delegation has prepared its drafts both on the nuclear measures and sanction lifting, and has presented its drafts to the other parties. And we believe these texts can form the basis for negotiations and a final agreement.
Although the nuclear measures that Iran needs to take to come back to full compliance are clear, there is less clarity when it comes to the list of U.S. sanctions that need to be removed.
China maintained that all U.S. sanctions should be lifted immediately. May it concern sanctions against Iran or its long-term jurisdiction measures affecting third country entities and individuals, including those on Chinese. So, we are looking forward to such a drafting exercise.
Iran has remained steadfast in its position that it will only act after verifying the U.S.'s removal of all sanctions, including those imposed additionally or relabeled under former President Donald Trump. Although there have been no direct talks between Iran and the U.S., American delegates in Vienna have been engaged in talks with the EU coordinator and the other JCPOA signatories. Iran's lead delegate says there are still some serious differences that need to be worked out. For now, the expert working groups have been tasked with engaging in more substantive work for the next few days. Homa Lezgi, Vienna.
In other news, the Palestinians have slammed the UAE for congratulating Israel on its so-called Independence Day. That's an occasion considered by the Palestinians as a catastrophe that marks the beginning of their displacement from their homeland in 1948. Mona Kandil has more.
The United Arab Emirates has sparked anger among Palestinians by congratulating Israel on its so-called Independence Day, declared in 1948. The occasion is marked by Palestinians as the beginning of their displacement from their homeland. They view the day as the Nakba or Catastrophe Day.
What Israelis are marking is the day of our catastrophe, the day Palestinians were slaughtered by Zionist gangs. Hundreds of thousands of them were displaced from their homes and lands. The UAE should have sent a message to condemn the daily crimes and oppression committed by the Israeli soldiers and settlers against the Palestinians.
The UAE Embassy in Tel Aviv published a tweet wishing a happy Independence Day to the citizens of Israel, posting a photo of the Israeli and Emirati flags side by side. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu replied by thanking the UAE.
The UAE has not only normalized ties with Israel, but also raised the ties to a new level. The UAE is also becoming Israel's partner in its aggression against the Palestinian people. The congratulation message comes as Israel is preventing Palestinians from entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
The UAE was among the first Arab countries to agree to normalize ties with Israel in 2020 under the so-called Abraham Accords, a pact brokered by former U.S. President Donald Trump. Bahrain, Morocco, and Sudan signed normalization deals with the Israeli regime shortly afterwards.
Palestinians have angrily slammed normalization of ties between Israel and Arab states, including UAE. They say that since then, those states have been continuing to reward the regime and giving up the Holy Lands. Mona Kandil, occupied Ramallah.
In Yemen, people are marking the holy months of Ramadan amid conflict, siege, and rising prices. The economic situation wouldn't allow two-thirds of the population there to access or afford enough food. Our correspondent has more from the Yemeni capital.
The seventh holy month of Ramadan since the start of the war on Yemen has arrived, and Yemeni struggle continues. The rising cost of living makes shopping for essentials a difficult task, as most Yemenis depend on daily wages.
We're going through a harsh economic condition. The ongoing blockade and war imposed by the Saudi-led coalition have put us in deep troubles. We hardly earn our livelihood and can't afford to buy food for Ramadan.
Tradesmen say they didn't earn much this year due to severe fuel crisis that led to the rising prices of foodstuffs. Meanwhile, deteriorating economic condition has forced many companies to discharge thousands of their employees.
The purchasing power of people in Yemen has weakened significantly. The prices are rising because the Saudi-led coalition is still preventing entry of oil ships to Yemen. We are suffering greatly from the ongoing war and blockade.
Yemen is on the brink of famine and facing the world's worst humanitarian crisis, according to the United Nations, since Saudi-led coalition backed by Washington launched a devastating war on the war-ravaged nation at the beginning of 2015.
Despite the tragic humanitarian situation in their country, Yemenis welcome Ramadan with hopes of an end to war. They say their army's escalation of retaliatory attacks is pushing Riyadh further into a political solution. Abdul Latif Al Washali, Sana.
China is urging the U.S. and Japan to immediately stop meddling in its domestic affairs and harming its interests. Beijing called on Washington, Tokyo to take the concern seriously and abide by the One China principle. The Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman also said that his country will take all measures necessary to resolutely defend its sovereignty, security, and interests. Now, those comments follow a joint statement by the U.S. and Japan expressing concerns over issues related to Taiwan, the Diaoyu Islands, Hong Kong, Xinjiang, and the South China Sea. Beijing has rejected the statement as a gross interference in Chinese domestic issues and a severe violation of basic norms governing international relations. Author and columnist Anar Tangian believes that U.S. anti-China policies are provocative and Washington should expect retaliation from Beijing.
Well, quite frankly, I mean, it's to be expected. Biden was there to push Suga into making as hardline a statement as he possibly could about China. Suga was trying to, you know, as they say, thread the needle. He reiterated statements about Taiwan. What is significant is no written statement about Taiwan has been around between U.S. and Japan since 1969. So this, for the Chinese side, represents a significant departure. But it wasn't, Suga did not to jump wholeheartedly into the Biden camp. There are a number of areas where he did not, throw his hat in, with especially on trade and number of nuclear issues. He's instead stuck to this, they want to see peace and stability. But what one country sees as trying to thread the needle, China sees as a gross provocation. So at this point, things are not going to be easy, and you can expect that Beijing will retaliate in some form.
Canadians have hit the streets in the city of Toronto to protest lockdown measures implemented by the government to curb the coronavirus pandemic. Demonstrators chanted slogans and holding signs calling for lockdown measures to end. They called the restrictive measures illegal. Protesters also urged authorities to tell the people the truth, arguing that they are rather facing a pandemic of fraud. They urged other Canadians to get out and fight for their rights.
Freedom of movement, freedom of speech, freedom of peaceful assembly affects all of us. So we invite everyone to come and join and fight for that.
The protest is held against the backdrop of a steep rise in COVID cases in Canada. In Ontario, more than 4,300 new cases were reported on Saturday. Projections indicate that the virus could spike to 10,000 per day in June if more strict restrictions are not implemented. Ontario's premier has been under fire for what protesters call his mishandling of the pandemic. He blames the federal government for the spike and says that it had been too slow to ramp up vaccinations. Brazil has recorded 67,000 new COVID cases as it is grappling with a new surge of the disease. The health ministry registered 2,900 daily deaths. The South American country has confirmed 13.9 million cases and more than 371,000 fatalities. Mexico is another badly hit Latin American state. It's reported 4,000 new daily cases and over 530 additional fatalities. Mexico has a total of 2.3 million COVID cases and 212,000 related deaths. Staying with Latin America, Argentinians have rallied in the capital, Buenos Aires, denouncing the new health restrictions imposed to stem the resurgence of the coronavirus. Protesters condemn President Alberto Fernandez for his handling of the pandemic. They particularly focused their protests against the 15-day suspension of classes at schools. The measure will come into force on Monday in the capital and its outskirts, which are seen as the epicenter of the contagion. Other restrictions include a nighttime curfew until April 30th. Argentina is one of the worst-hit countries by the pandemic, with more than 2.6 million cases and 59,000 deaths. Germany holds a national memorial service for its nearly 80,000 victims of the coronavirus. The ceremony in Berlin will be attended by Chancellor Angela Merkel and President Frank-Walter Steinmeier. The ceremony is held with the attendance of a limited number of people due to the pandemic. Germany is struggling to curb a third wave of the disease, which has hit the nation hard. It recorded 19,000 new infections and 67 deaths over the past day. That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 18th, 2021. I'm Atefer Fani, hosting this program today. Listeners, the special, as you may know, is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, listeners, especially the Sunday program is your program. It's your views that are important. So please keep us company until the end of the program. And the blessed month of Ramadan, regarded as the best month of the year for Muslims, has arrived. Ramadan is a time for Muslims to practice self-discipline, sacrifice, patience, and empathy. It encourages generosity and charity. In this holy month, all adult Muslims, except those who cannot fast due to different reasons, practice fasting from dawn to dusk every day. So, happy Ramadan to all Muslims around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers in IRIB English Radio. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. So, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Jacques Augustin from France, Mohammad Fazli from Malaysia, and Massimo Lombardo from Italy. All of them are our regular listeners. So, Jacques, Mohammad, and Massimo, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks. And a zillion thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read their emails and letters, including an email from Olmar Kovic from Sweden, one of our regular listeners. Also, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. And for your information, most of these emails and letters focus on the holy month of Ramadan, and most of them are congratulatory messages from our dear listeners. Also, we have an email from MD Salahuddin Dolar from Bangladesh, KP Munir from UAE, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Also, your Clemens Hoffman, one of our old listeners from Sweden, has sent us an email. And the last but not the least is an email from Bangladesh. This email is from Kamal Hussein, who has sent us a congratulatory message on the holy month of Ramadan. Many thanks for sending us these emails and letters. After a short break, I will be back with all these kind messages. Stay with us, please. Uh, Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I'm really impressed, you know, by the load of these letters, emails, and messages, which most of them focus on the holy month of Ramadan, their congratulatory messages. First of all, we have an email from Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. Dr. Hemant Kumar is one of our regular listeners who says, "May the blessed month of Ramadan be the harbinger of joy and prosperity to all Muslims around the world. And as the holy occasion of Ramadan is here and the atmosphere is filled with the spirit of love, here we hope this festival of beauty brings your way bright sparkles of contentment that stay with you through ahead. Happy Ramadan to IRIB family and all listeners." First of all, salam and greetings to you, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. And please accept our deepest thanks for sending us this congratulatory message on the holy month of Ramadan. Happy Ramadan to you, Dr. Hemant Kumar, and happy Ramadan to all our Muslim listeners. As you know, the blessed month of Ramadan is the month of fasting, and it is a very important opportunity for self-building and expurgation of the soul and heart. May we achieve these characteristics during the holy month of Ramadan. Anyway, many thanks for sending us this message, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. Write to us soon, Dr. Kumar, and also tell us your views about our programs, especially those on the holy month of Ramadan. Thanks again, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. Also, we have an email from Bangladesh. This email is from MD Salahuddin Dular from Bangladesh. MD Salahuddin says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, greetings from Rajashi, Bangladesh. I am MD Salahuddin Dular from Bangladesh. It's a pleasure of me to inform you that I have been the father of a newborn baby boy. It is our first baby. His name is Muhammad Keshawar Hassan Shad. Please pray for our child that he will be honest, polite, and helpful to others." Salam and greetings to you, MD Salahuddin Dular from Bangladesh. So please accept our deepest thanks for sending us this email, and also accept our congratulations for your new baby boy. As you said, you named him as Muhammad, and that's great. Congratulations. Many thanks for sharing your good news with IRIB English Radio and our dear listeners around the world. That was great. So we hope that your child, as you said, be honest, polite, and helpful to others. Thank you, MD Salahuddin Dular from Bangladesh. We wish you and your dear family all the best. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. From Sweden, we have an email from Olmar Kovic. Olmar Kovic is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear IRIB English staff," actually, this is English radio staff, "many thanks for your prompt reply. I'm glad to see you take the matter of transmitter defect seriously. I listened to the latest listeners special by using Parse Today on the web. So good that this option exists, but the web is not my hobby medium. I love radio. I must not forget to send you my wishes for a joyful month of Ramadan. of course, hampered by the coronavirus, but still with its special atmosphere and traditions. My wife Samka, 65, and myself, 86, live in isolation but go out for a walk now and then. Our daughter cares for our good supplies. Spring is so beautiful this year. To give us consolation, wishing you health, hope, and all the best. Greetings to you, Olmarkovic from Sweden, and many thanks for writing this really inspiring email to us in IRM English Radio. So, you recently listened to listeners special on the web, but you prefer radio, as you said. I think that's quite normal. Many people prefer traditional means, like radio. Traditional radio, yes, most people like it. I do too. Yes, traditional means of listening to radio is much greater than, I think, other ways of listening actually to media. And Olmarkovic from Sweden, many thanks for sending us your congratulations on the holy month of Ramadan. But as you said, this Ramadan is hampered by the coronavirus. Yes, Muslims in different countries, because of the coronavirus pandemic, avoid gathering and or, for example, coming together for celebrations of this month. They stay home, but they practice the rituals of this holy month. Many thanks for sending us this congratulatory message. And as you said, you also practice your own pandemic era actions, like going for a walk with your wife and avoiding gatherings. Thank you. We also wish you health, hope, and all the best in your life. Olmarkovic from Sweden, write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. Many thanks. Also, we have an email from KP Munir from the UAE, one of our regular listeners. KP Munir from UAE says, "Let's celebrate the beautiful and blessed month of Ramadan, filling our life with happiness and bliss, as Allah bless us once again with prosperity. Happy Ramadan to all Muslims around the world." First of all, salam and greetings to you, KP Munir from the UAE, and many thanks for writing this message to IRM English Radio. Happy the holy month of Ramadan to you and to all Muslims around the world. May we reform our soul and heart in this holy month, which is the month of God. Thanks a lot for sending us this congratulatory message, KP Money from the UAE. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. Again from Bangladesh, we have an email from Kamal Hussein. Kamal Hussein from Bangladesh says, "Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. I wish you all a very happy and a blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah accept your good deeds and prayers. Also pray to God in this blessed month to ease the suffering of all people around the globe. Happy Ramadan." Salam and greetings to you, Kamal Hussein from Bangladesh, and happy Ramadan to you and all Muslims in your country and around the world. Many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. We also wish you a very happy and blessed month of Ramadan. And as you said, may Allah accept our deeds and prayers. And also, we, like you, pray to God that in this blessed month, God eases the suffering of all people around the globe, especially the Yemeni people, the Yemeni civilians, and the especially Yemeni children. Again, many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Kamal Hussein from Bangladesh, write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Wish you all the best, Kamal Hussein. Also, from Sweden, we have an email from Jörg Clemens Hoffman from Sweden. Jörg Clemens has sent us a message, a short message. Jörg Clemens says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, may the spirit of Ramadan stay in your heart and illuminate our soul from within. Happy Ramadan." Salam and greetings to you, your Clemens Hoffman from Sweden, and many thanks for writing this congratulatory message on the holy month of Ramadan. I don't know whether you're a Muslim or not, but thanks a lot for sending us this congratulations on the holy month of Ramadan to us in IRIB English Radio, and of course to our dear listeners, to our Muslim listeners around the world. As you said, may the spirit of Ramadan stay in our heart and illuminate our soul from within. We wish you all the best, and we wish you all the good things in this holy month. Jörg Clemens Hoffman from Sweden. Jörg Clemens, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you in the future. We wish you all the best. Wishing you all the best in the holy month of Ramadan and all the time, we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The debate. Hello and welcome to Debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, the motto of France is freedom, liberty, and fraternity. Many French would say that there is a major gap in the slogan of the country and reality on the ground for its people. This as the French National Assembly has passed a new security law giving police even more power. One of the most controversial parts of the law prohibits the sharing of images of police with malicious intent. Now, critics say it is vague and can be used to stifle freedom and initiate a more severe crackdown. We're going to start off this discussion crossing over to Paris, joined by correspondent there, Chris DeHaan. Chris, well, fill us in on what this law could mean.
Well, concretely, this law means certainly a limitation of individual and public liberties. So the police impunity will increase, that's for sure. Police powers are increasing, that's for sure. Now it will be interesting to investigate the exact degree of the limitation of these freedoms, because France is still not a police state. There are still democratic institutions functioning, political parties, associations, trade unions are working, but it's not sure in what kind of degree, demonstrations, for instance, will be allowed in the near future. So it's certainly a limitation of public liberties, but we are not yet in a dictatorship.
And let me get our next guest in, too, on this independent journalist, if I have him out of Marseille, Sylvain Marcadia. Your take on this. In your opinion, why has the Macron government pushed for this? They were very aggressive in wanting to make sure this legislation gets passed.
Yes, it's a good question. Like, I really believe that the party in power, Macron's party, La République En Marche, is trying to attract voters who would vote for the far-right party, Rassemblement National, headed by Marine Le Pen. So this move that is basically supporting the actions of the police, supporting the impunity of the police, is a move to attract these conservative votes in favor of Macron for the coming elections next year. So I do believe that this is one of the objectives. The other is also to reassure the police in a moment where it is becoming like a key element of the French institutions. Like the public opinion is more and more engaged against the government. We've seen the Yellow Vest movement erupting a few years ago, few months after Macron was elected and after his first policies. And this is a way to support, reassure the police in their actions against these movements that are opposing the power, the party in power, I believe.
Okay, let me welcome my next guest out of Paris, journalist and geopolitical analyst, Gerard Coleman. Gerard, good to have you with us. Your take on exactly what this means now. I mean, has France transitioned? Is it leaning more and more to the right and just continually trying to limit individual freedom? Because we see this particular law, the security law. We also have seen the separation law. Your assessment of what is going on in general in the country?
Well, it's been leaning to the financial rights since the 1916, when the Rothschild Bank took over, particularly in the 1970s. So the trajectory of French politics from the late 60s to now has been towards the extreme financial right. Socially, in terms of social mores, the regime in place is essentially a consequence of 1968. So that's what goes for the left today. I don't really know what you would call that in terms of right or left. But I think the reality is that we have a police state, and now they're giving police full powers. So we have a situation where drones, for example, can go into people's houses. Police can use drones. They did use them in the lockdown last year. they used to draw into different parts of the country. But that caused controversy. I mean, it was a lot of people opposed to the idea of being followed around by drones, police drones. Now it will give the police those kind of powers. We did see massive police brutality and repression during the Yellow Vest uprisings. We've seen massive police brutality right throughout the lockdown period over the last year. Just the other day in Paris, people were hunted out of parks and hunted out of the Seine area where people used to have picnics. People are not allowed to live effectively anymore in France, and that's not an exception, that's all over Europe. It is illegal to meet people, it is illegal pretty much to do anything other than go to work, wear a mask and so on, come home. So what it means is that it basically gives the police now the possibility of following you around with a drone, openly surveilling the whole population. And also, you know, private life is gone. They can legally go into your home. They have some suspicion about you. Now, suspicion about you might be that you're not wearing a mask in your home, if they make that the next law, which they could, because they're pretty much most of the time now here, when you read the newspapers, every day a new law is being passed which takes away some other fundamental human liberty. So they spend most of their time discussing what liberty they're going to take away next. And so if you were to look at Paris now, particularly since the attacks in 2015-16, the series of terrorist attacks, it's police state, there's police everywhere. And, you know, if you compare it to so-called totalitarian countries, let's say like Iran, and I've been there many times, you don't see the same police concentration in the streets. This is a police state, and people of the police, if you ask here about the mask issue, for example, wearing masks in the street in Paris, I mean, some people believe in that and they comply, but a lot of people don't like being forced to do things. And most people I've spoken to said they wear them because they fear the police. Mm-hmm. So that you have a situation where people live in fear of police all the time. Generally, the population in France is really very, very sick of fines. They get fined for living here.
Okay.
Speeding fines. With the sort of Internet of Things coming in, everything is being surveilled. So, you know, you've got sensors everywhere picking everything up. Now you're going to have biometric cameras. So, you know, that means that essentially you're under surveillance all the time. And,
okay. Stay with me, Gerard. Let me get Sylvain back in this discussion. Sylvain, you heard what Gerard was saying. Do you think that the majority of French people actually support these new security measures?
I don't think so. No, I really do not believe they do.
So why has the French Assembly? I mean, they're supposed to be representatives of the French people. So what has happened that this legislation then has been passed?
Well, this probably has to do with like the French particularity in politics, that even though politicians get like elected and voted for, they seldomly respect their promises once they get into power. Macron was never elected to vote these laws. Actually, there are many parts of his program that he never applied or delayed. And he has used the COVID-19 crisis very conveniently for this. And this is basically, yes, like the reason why the Assembly managed to vote this law. And I generally also believe that the establishment, the political establishment that voted this law is afraid, has learned the lessons from the Yellow Vest movement, feared for the stability of their well-being and everything, and they are ready to ensure that the status quo, like the Fifth Republic as we are we call our institutions, are going to be maintained. And that actually have many issues that should be discussed in order to eventually come out of this system that is very vertical in terms of power.
gives a lot of power to the president, and amongst other many other issues. But the representative system of France has issues that should be addressed instead of giving more rights to repress demonstrators and people opposing the police, which is actually a fundamental right to demonstrate. This is a right that's being denied little by little, as mentioned.
Okay, well, Gerard, where does the press fit in here? I mean, will they be able to show images from the scene of demos when police are involved, or where do you see things going from that perspective?
Well, the press is a system of state propaganda in all Western countries, and it's always been like that. So the press is the state, really. There isn't a separation. There's very little criticism allowed of state policy in the press. The press is there as a communication device of the state. So it's not going to affect the working of journalists, because they mostly publish fake news anyway. And the demonstrations that will be allowed, the demonstrations that will take place, will be demonstrations which are state-sponsored. So, for example, climate change demonstrations are given full support of the state, full support of the banks and the corporations. Gay pride is fully supported by the corporations and banks and the state. All these kinds of demonstrations will be promoted, but the real demonstrations will not be allowed, and we're going to see a criminalization of the type of Gilets Jaunes protests, the anti-mask protests, the anti-forced vaccine protests. There haven't been many in France in comparison to other countries, but this will make it more difficult for people with real issues, real life issues, to demonstrate. And the press doesn't cover those issues anyway, so they're not going to be concerned about the repression of the real dissidents in the country. We've just seen a dissident released from prison today. Hervé Vessel was put in prison because of his writings, and so now we have political prisoners in France, and we have more prison sentences, prominent dissident intellectuals, and that's the future. They're actually emptying a lot of the prisons. They're letting prisoners, actual criminals, go, and they're filling them with political dissidents. And that is the future right now.
Well, Sylvain, now officials say that the law is needed to protect law enforcement officers. Your take on that side of things, what do you think?
I'll use a quote from David Dufresne, who is a French journalist who has been writing extensively on the Yellow Vest movement and on issues of global security in France and freedom of speech. And he was calling this law Orwellian, even in its name, global security. What security are we talking about? Are we talking about the security of the citizens, or are we talking about the security and impunity of the law enforcement forces? So obviously there is an issue with these laws, and they are definitely not a move in favor of freedom of speech. They are actually a deterrent for independent journalists to engage in their work and to document the actions of the police. The issue here is police brutality. The issue is not security of police officers. There have been so many cases of police violence documented by citizens in the streets, and this is what the police and Gérard Darmanin, the Ministry of Interior, are trying to go against with this law that is basically giving this impunity and preventing citizens of doing their work, which is to report police violence and other actions during demonstrations.
Well, Gerard, we've also witnessed so many different laws. One of them is the separation law in France, where Muslims have been the target. We're just seeing more and more and more laws that seem to be weeding away the rights of the people in France. I'm just wondering about the French people in general. The French people have more of a love for independence and individual freedom. Why aren't we seeing more of a reaction? We have seen some demonstrations, but do you think that we're going to see increase outward show of being upset to this new law by the French people, or have they just learned to acquiesce and accept it?
Well, there's two points there. You mentioned the Muslims and then the, you know, the French love of liberty. And I think, one, on the Muslim issue, the police in France are highly integrated with the Israeli Defense Forces, Mossad, the even Israeli militia like Fatah, who are banned, are so extreme they're banned in Israel. They have links to the French police. So that would explain focus as well on Muslims, because the constant obsession about Muslims in France, the danger and so on, and then many very suspect terrorist attacks, and of course a catastrophic foreign policy. None of that is ever discussed in the debate. So that, you know, that is that explains why you have the repression of the Muslim community. But on the other issue of the general love of liberty, well, it's a farce. You know, Republican liberty has been a farce from the very start, because it's not based on any solid philosophy. It's based on a false theory of the human being, and it's based on 18th century Enlightenment ideas, which are false ideas, and we're seeing the consequence of that now. When you get that kind of republic, eventually you have to pass laws against every fundamental liberty. So it makes a farce of the whole idea of liberty in the first place. And so we're seeing the collapse, essentially, of the principles of the French Revolution. But in the context where those principles are becoming the principles of a global government system. So, you know, France is part of a much wider agenda here. Europe and the world is going through the same process. There is a specificity in France, of course, which is the French love of liberty. But the we haven't seen any manifestation of that in the last year. If you compare France, for example, to Germany, millions of people have demonstrated against the lockdown in Germany. They demonstrated against the pseudoscience promoted by the media and so on and so forth. There's been very little of that in France. So I think...
Why is that the case?
One of the reasons, I would say, is that the French were simply worn out from demonstrating with the Yellow Vest. I mean, you had the Yellow Vest movement just galvanized, it just, you know, mobilized thousands of people for, 2 years? It just went on and on and on and on. It went nowhere. And in a way, I think it sort of... he's exhausted an awful lot of people. And then after that, with the coronavirus, they were kind of taken by surprise. But I also think it's the French are very brilliant media propagandists, and they have a much more sophisticated propaganda system than any other country I know. They are very good at preventing, preempting counter-arguments and preempting counter-movements. They do it better than most of the countries. You know, last year, you compare the Anglophone media to the French media, French have been very good at sort of at basically dividing and conquering the French elites, that is. And I think that's one of the reasons they basically, you know, you have a far-right party, sort of a far-right party, which is in bed with the Zionists, is, you know, has not really had, you know, made any significant opposition to the Macron regime in the last year. Could have had many opportunities to come out and be the hero of the people, open everything up and put the bad guys in jail. Marine Le Pen is completely sold out, and we're seeing that with a lot of the far-right parties in Europe, so-called far-right parties, that they are basically going along with the technocratic agenda, and they're not coming out on the side of the people. So that's another reason that you have extreme manipulation on the right and on the left here, and you know, that there is no coherent view of opposition that can unite the opposition to put an end to this. Because you have to see that a lot of these agendas are linked. You know, a police state, giving police absolute powers, and then a lockdown situation, a medical dictatorship, forced vaccination, etc., etc. They're all linked. They're all part of. Of the takeover of society by another. You know, we need to understand that that transcends class, race, and a lot of other issues that divide people. This is what is happening is that the wealthiest people in the world have taken over the world. They've taken over pretty much every state in the world. And you know, France is you know, an example of a country where they've done this to a very extreme extent, and they've managed to do it without much opposition until now, because they have, they've been studying techniques of propaganda, I think, better than any other country.
Okay. And on that note, I'd like to thank my guests for being with us. We're out of time in this debate. Joining us in geopolitical analyst Gerard Coleman out of Paris and out of Marseille, independence journalist Sylvain Mercadia.
Thank you.
Thank you. And as always, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Goodbye.